A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 205. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, or supernatural television in this case. And this time we are continuing our discussion of The Fades. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
BBC Three did this quite youthful, but actually rather adult, maybe young adult type of show in 2011 about ghosts of a kind called the Fades waging this war on the living. It ran for one season, 6 60-minute episodes, and it had quite a bit of gore and sex and violence in it. So quite a dark, intense show.
Yes, it's an adult-themed show, and certainly not one for the kiddies. And as you say, we've got this apocalyptic clash between the Fades, these spirits which have now returned to living bodies, and a dwindling band of super-powered humans called the Angelics. And a troubled teen called Paul becomes the key player in this battle for control of, control of the living realm. So it's sort of big stuff and an interesting show.
Yes, absolutely. And very big stuff going on here with this character, John, who is one of the Fades, who is able to transform. He turns into this effectively living body. And it seems that he cannot be stopped with any conventional weapons. And they at first don't know how to stop or even slow down John and these other reborn Fades. And Paul is rapidly becoming very powerful amongst the Angelics and moving the Angelics from being this sort of secret society who know about the Fades into a more open group, because the Fades themselves are becoming more open and more visible with these transformed bodies. And Paul has this terrible accident, this car accident, that threatens to take him out of things, and it's not clear what will happen with him and where he will stand in this whole situation, if he'll become one of the Fades or remain an Angelic, and so on and so forth. So there are big questions there.
Yeah, just as Paul's emerging as a sort of key figure, he gets taken out of the game, as you say. And in his absence, things just seem to get worse. And interestingly, his best friend Mac, who we've talked about in the last episode, Mac's father is a police officer who, in the early episodes, is investigating the murder of the character Sarah, who becomes one of the Fades. But actually, things are becoming so bad on the streets that he has to start advising people to just leave this town. And the stage is sort of cleared and sort of set for, well, there's going to be obviously a return by Paul, and there's going to be a huge final battle as he tries to prevent this awful future that he's seen in his visions. He begins to realize that his nightmarish visions and dreams he used to have were actually him seeing the possible future of Earth, and he has to try and stop that. So big budget stuff, really, Brian.
Yes, these big apocalyptic ideas and sort of almost heaven versus hell types of things. And as this is going along, Paul is forming a relationship with his new girlfriend, Jay. So you have, the very personal and the very big and epic happening at the same time.
Yeah, some teen relationship stuff as well, as you'd expect from this show with its teenage cast and slightly sort of youth-orientated approach.
Yeah, they have to include some of that with that type of setup, I think.
Okay, now we mentioned last time that this was just one series, that it won a BAFTA for the best series in 2012. and then didn't go on to return for a second series. And so we discuss, as we often do, that difficult second series for science fiction, or in this case, supernatural shows. But actually, we have to wonder about this one, Brian, whether there was ever an intention of a second series, because as we've sort of hinted along the way, we know there's a fairly apocalyptic climax coming, although it does sort of leave the door open slightly for a sequel.
Yes, it's interesting because it really does reach a conclusion and it sits as one big story as well as individual episodes, which is nice. And they do leave an opening that there could be a second season, but it's almost like it's an opening for a sequel to the season that we've seen. And we don't know exactly when, during the process of writing and producing the series, that they found out that there would not be a second series. And we don't really know if the team had really been planning for a second series, or if they just put an opening there just in case. It wasn't really clear where that sits with this. We do know that there was a considerable fan movement with an online petition trying to bring back The Fades and bring it for a second series. Our friend Gordon from the Facebook group did sign that, and he was talking about that, which was interesting to hear as always.
Yes, it was. And it is, you know, interesting that there was such a fan movement to bring it back. Although, as we've said, Brian, we do wonder whether producers and writers actually ever had any thoughts of bringing it back themselves.
Yeah, that really isn't clear at all, is it?
No. Of course, it is slightly unusual to have a show that's so successful as to win a BAFTA not come back for a second series. You know, I mentioned before some of the other shows that have won the same award, like Misfits and Sherlock, and another non-genre show called Broadchurch, which stars David Tennant, all have won the same Best Series Award, and of course have all come back for further series as a result, it would seem. Although none of them were on BBC Three, which we've got this slightly strange area of the BBC where they don't seem to be producing any more original drama.
Yeah, that's right. The BBC, with their budgets as they are these past few years, can only produce so much original drama. And I'm sure that that came into this situation with this not getting a second series. But winning Best Drama Series, that's big. Those are big series. So usually those are things that that would continue on.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know, Misfits is Channel 4, Broadchurch is an ITV show, Sherlock obviously is a runaway international huge success on BBC One. But so, yes, there's this strange area of digital BBC, which possibly, as we're talking now, is winding down, or in some parts anyway. We did get some of the same feel in other shows, so if you sort of were interested in The Fades and enjoyed it, and you're looking for something similar, then I guess the obvious place to point you is towards Misfits on Channel 4, or possibly to a more recent show, one called In the Flesh, which has that sort of zombie theme, and it's had two series, I think, Brian, but apparently not getting any more.
Yes, that is the current status with that one.
Okay, so that's where you might look if you like The Fades and want to get that same sort of modern youth-orientated feel from another programme.
Yeah, In the Flesh is a BBC Three series, and Misfits is an E4, Channel 4 series. So both of those on the secondary channels, but both lasting a little bit longer. So interesting to see some good speculative fiction shows going on there.
Yes, good fun, and they are another couple of interesting shows, which, who knows, we may be getting to at some point.
We'll see.
I was scared. Kyle's scared. This is Sarah.
Your eye looks painful, Neil. Her body can keep. Let me look at you first.
So we should get into some of our own feelings about the fades, the good and the bad, if you will. So, Eamon, what did you like about the fades?
Let's talk about the sort of look and feel of this production and say that from my point of view, certainly, it's a very good-looking BBC production. You know, it's very modern. It's got very modern, obviously, camera work. It's got some very good special effects. I thought the sort of creepy zombie stuff and the gore that goes with it, that was all extremely well done. So in terms of the sort of, you know, the look of the production, I thought it was very good, Brian.
Yes, it's quite slick, isn't it? It has a very modern feel to it, and it has this big scope to the story they're telling, and I think they make the visuals match that. I thought the scope of this story, of the whole story from beginning to end and all the different things they got into, was really quite broad and quite impressive. So I have to say that I really enjoyed the overall story that they told and the massive scale of the whole thing. That was something I thought was quite neat.
Yes, they go for big stuff in the fades. I mean, it's a huge battle between good and evil in this small English town. And in some ways, it reminded me of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where the, you know, small town America turns out to be positioned over the Hellmouth. And some of the special effects and the sort of monster appearance is very similar to some of the Buffy stuff as well. So there are similarities there. But yeah, as you say, Brian, they went big with the writing of this one and the whole idea of the fades.
What did you think of the performances in this?
I have to say, I really enjoyed all the performances in this. I think they're all round excellent. There's some very good actors who we haven't mentioned along the way, but, you know, some very good performances in there. People like, you know, the actress who played Paul's mother, Mac's father, the school teacher, and so on. So I think they're very good. I think the actors who played Paul and Mac themselves are splendid. Obviously, they've gone on to bigger and better things as well. So, you know, good luck to them. Yeah, I think all round they're great. What did you think of the performances?
I thought they were good. They varied. And this was one of those things where a lot of the adult actors and the supporting actors and so on were very good. I thought Paul was not as good. He did a decent job, but it was a sort of awkward and difficult role to play. So pretty good, but not quite up to the level as the others. And the same thing I would say with the actress who played Paul's sister, his twin sister. Pretty good, but not up to the level of the others. So that was something I noticed. But all in all, compared to a lot of things that are out there, pretty good.
Okay. I mean, Ian de Castaker, who plays Paul, I like him better as Fitz in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. than I did in this particular one. So he's probably better there, I guess.
Yeah, and part of it came down to, I think, the way that Paul was written. It's a major role, a big role, but a tricky one to get on screen, I think.
Yes, because he's a serious and troubled character, unlike his best friend Mac, played by the absolutely excellent Daniel Kaluuya, who I think probably has, perhaps as you said, Brian, beforehand, a slightly easier role because he gets to do some of the much-needed humour. And there is some humour in this show, and it mostly comes from Mac and his geeky references, which we can spot and love, and his rather entertaining video diaries that introduce each episode. I thought he was absolutely splendid, Brian.
Yes, he was definitely good.
And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to call it, although probably somebody else has already suggested this, he'd make a great doctor, or if not, a great companion at some point.
Oh, interesting. I could see that in a few years, maybe. Maybe not yet, but maybe in several years down the line could be interesting.
Absolutely. So what about the writing of the show itself and the sort of more episode-to-episode stuff as opposed to the big overarching theme?
Well, as I said, I really like the big overarching theme. Episode-to-episode, it took a while to grab me. The first few episodes, I didn't think were as interesting in their individual stories, and I wasn't really drawn into it as much as I would want to be. I thought the last three episodes were quite strong, but the first few I found were not as interesting, and there was something a little lacking in the writing as individual episodes.
Yes, you may have, you know, problems with the early episodes, particularly if the sort of youth-orientated theme doesn't grab you as well, because it's clearly it was aimed at that sort of older teenage and young adult audience, the Skins generation. And we've mentioned, you know, there is sex, there is nudity, there is violence and language. So, you know, if that sort of stuff going on in the context of a bunch of teenagers having various problems, then you might not like the first couple of episodes so much. But if you stick with it, then the sort of horror and supernatural stuff is going to come and bring you along to the conclusion.
Yeah, it's unapologetically a show that focuses on teenagers, especially at the beginning. And it's unapologetically a big heaven and hell, people coming back from the dead, supernatural horror show. And if those things are for you, then this show has a lot to say for it. If they're not, it still has some pretty good stuff in there. But you do have a lot of those things in there.
Okay. What else about this show did you perhaps not like quite so much, Brian? Were there any other areas that caused problems?
Well, as I said, there were just a few things with the acting at places. And in the first few episodes, it seemed interesting, but they seemed a little bit light. Not enough was happening with the story and characters at the beginning, and it was later in the show where it really stepped up and did some good stuff.
Okay. I have to say, it did confuse me in places because it doesn't explain entirely the whole mechanism of the Fades and Ascension and why Ascension has been broken and so on. So some of it can be a little bit difficult to follow because it concentrates instead on this sort of teenage romance stuff that's going on and then the big battle that's come in towards the end of the series. So in places, it sort of baffled me. And the angelics, and this rather sort of odd bunch of angelics who may have powers, although it's never clearly delineated what the other angelics can do apart from shoot guns, which seem to have no effect on the Fades anyway, so I'm not quite sure why they're carrying them. But so the angelics can be a little bit strange at times, and Johnny Harris as Neil, as the leader of this group, he can be a bit difficult to like. I think he's not a terribly likable character. He's a very driven leader and fighter, and it's a bit sort of difficult to work out why he's always got a gun.
Yeah, he becomes more interesting in the last few episodes, I think. But he is sort of a bit of an odd character in there. They, on your point, they have a tendency to explain some of the supernatural things very clearly and in lots of detail, and then sort of leave the explanations for others out altogether. So we don't know why the angelics are different. We know that they can see the Fades, and some of them seem to have, like, I think, healing powers and different kinds of things. And they go into some of those things in quite a bit of detail and then leave other points out altogether, which is slightly odd, I guess.
Yes, it does feel a bit odd in places, yes.
But they certainly did do a lot of interesting things here with the visuals and many of the performances and that big overarching story.
Yes. And on the subject, I suppose, of the second series, possibly, I think they sort of blew their top in the first series. I think they, as you said earlier on, Brian, they sort of give us a conclusion that almost denies them a second series. So probably, you know, it all went too big too soon in a way.
Perhaps, yeah.
We mentioned Gordon on Facebook and how he'd signed the petition. So we perhaps should also read out what Gordon said about this series, which is quite a nice encapsulated review. He called The Fades a well-made horror thriller with apocalyptic overtones. The cast were cracking, the writing hurls along, and it made me laugh, made me cry, and I loved the video diaries. So that's Gordon's view on Facebook, and thank you as ever for contributing.
Yes, nice little point of view there for sure. So I think it's time to get to our recommendations. Eamon, do you want to start with this?
Okay, I'll say that I like The Fades, actually. Like yourself, I struggled perhaps with the first couple of episodes, but once it becomes clear what's going on, it's quite an enjoyable little series. It's not perhaps my favourite of the stuff we've watched recently, but if you like Misfits, if you like In the Flesh and you've not seen The Fades, I would say it's well worth checking out. And if you've got a Blu-ray player here in the UK, then at £6 currently on Amazon, it's an absolute bargain. Brian, what did you think?
Okay, I'm going to give a slightly more cautious recommendation. It's a pretty good series. If you like the sort of supernatural horror genre, then it's a good example of that, and it's probably well worth watching. And if you like the sort of teen drama mixed with other sorts of things like these horror aspects, again, it's it makes for a strong, quite a strong series and good examples of that. If you are not so much into the supernatural thriller side of things or the teen drama side of things, it's a decent show, and it may be worth checking out if you're looking for some new things. There are certainly good deals on it, as we've mentioned. So I would have to say, if these sorts of supernatural thriller and teen types of things are your type of show, definitely check it out. Otherwise, not bad, maybe something to give a watch, but sort of more middle of the road in that case.
Okay, but as ever, if you're listening and you've seen The Fades and you agree or disagree with what we've said, get in touch, let us know.
Absolutely. So, in summary, The Fades was a supernatural thriller or horror type of show that introduced us to these ghosts, effectively, these deceased people called The Fades, who are looking to ascend and reach their peace through these ascension points. But the ascension points are gradually disappearing, which leaves the Fades stuck on Earth. And after a brief period of time, they are no longer able to ascend. And they become more and more aggressive and violent and in opposition to humans. And a particular group of humans called the Angelics can see the Fades and have some powers of sorts and are combating the Fades. And then we have the idea that some of the Fades are starting to regain a more human form where they can interact with people, and anyone can then see these transformed Fades, and they step up their battle and they seem to be very powerful indeed. And we also have this central character, Paul, who is this teenage student who discovers that he is an angelic and discovers all of these things going on, and he may in fact be the chosen one to lead the angelics and to bring a conclusion to this struggle, to this battle between Fades and angelics. And in fact, the regular humans are being pulled into all of this as well. So we have lots of big end of the world, heaven and hell types of things going on here, along with teenage issues of struggling to fit in and the teenage romance and so on.
So, a big show, and here at least in the UK, available for a small price. And, of course, do come back and join us next time when we're talking about a show called King of the Castle, and we're back in the weird and wonderful world of 1970s children's television, and in particular we're looking at this show, which was from HTV on the ITV network in 1977.
Yes, stepping to something very different from the fades, and a show that's very well remembered, so it'll be interesting to take a closer look at it, for sure. So, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, and you can also find us at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com, where we are part of that network, along with a number of other shows. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us there with our little community, and we have some nice little discussions going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Do come and join us on Facebook, or join us on vognetwork.com. That's the Voice of Geeks network, where we are one of a host of geeky-related shows about films, television, gaming, comics, and so on. So come along to vognetwork.com and join in the fun.
Yes, nice community with live chats on the broadcast and all sorts of things going on there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thanks very much for being with us, and until next time, it's Eamon in England borrowing Max sign off and saying nanu nanu.